Good evening, everyone. As Dove mentioned, this is part two of Breaking the Habit of Listening to the Ego. What happened for me last Saturday night was I taught part one, and literally, as soon as I finished, I knew there was to be a part two. I didn't know at that time what part two was. I just knew that we weren't done. And also, last week we talked mainly about thoughts, and this week we're going to talk a little bit about feelings. So I'm looking forward to tonight because I don't really have a plan as to what I'm going to say. So I'm looking forward to tonight to find out what the Holy Spirit teaches us, because I'm just as excited about learning to break the habit of listening to the ego as anyone else is. First, I would like to start. Last week, I had reviewed one post called Letting Go of the Ego that had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 steps in it that the Holy Spirit had given us for breaking the habit of listening to the ego. And what I'd like to do is just start by reviewing those 6 steps. Before I do that, I would like to give this entire evening to the Holy Spirit. And I ask the Holy Spirit to help us see whatever we need to see or realize whatever we need to realize, whatever will be most helpful to us in breaking the habit of listening to the ego. I would also like to remind all of you that you are a part of the flow. So if you feel guidance to share anything or to ask anything, please raise your hand and I will turn the mic over to you. So let me begin by reviewing the list that we looked at last week. Actually, even before I started the list, I remember I added a step to the list, and I'm going to go ahead and add it now. I remember last week when I was teaching, one thing that I talked about was a first step that we could take is to stop judging ourselves for listening to the ego. Because whenever we listen to the ego and then judge ourselves for listening to the ego, it is like double dosing on the ego. And that there's no reason to take a double dose if we can just take a single dose. So I added a step one to this list that the Holy Spirit gave us, which is stop judging ourselves for listening to the ego. And I gave the example that comes from NTI Hebrews, that when we are waking up, it's kind of like we are waking up on a lazy Sunday morning where you might take a long time to wake up, and during that process you wake and doze and wake and doze and wake and doze, and then you finally wake up. But the entire process, including the dozing, is a part of the waking up process. And Holy Spirit said that's just what it's like for us now. What we are doing is waking up. We are in the waking up process. But sometimes in that process, we doze again, which means we forget our purpose. We forget to watch our mind, and we slip into listening to the ego again. And Holy Spirit said, don't worry about the dozing. You know, remember that we are still waking up. It's just that when we notice that we dozed, that means we're awake again, or we wouldn't be noticing. So in the moment that we notice, just go right back into mind watching at that time. So don't judge ourselves for listening to the ego, but once we catch ourselves, go right back into the practice of mind watching. Now, step two. Holy Spirit says, of course, once you are awake in the awakening process, to watch the thoughts in your mind. Do not fall right back to sleep and accept them without seeing them. And what I talked about last week was how Holy Spirit had taught me to learn to see the content of thoughts. I mentioned that I was given instructions to walk around with a notebook for 3 days, and whenever I caught myself dozing, to write down whatever the thoughts were that I had been dozing with. And then Holy Spirit had me go back and categorize those thoughts at the content level. And I told you that even though it looked like I had been thinking about lots of different things, lots of different scenarios, that in reality I had only been thinking about a few things, because when I categorized the thoughts, I found that all of the thoughts were fear thoughts, or they were thoughts of guilt or blame, they were unworthiness thoughts, or they were attack and defense thoughts. Those seemed to be the 4 contents that were in my mind over 3 days. So really, I was only thinking about 4 things and definitely listening to the ego. And after the Holy Spirit gave me that exercise, what happened was I began to look at the content of my thoughts much quicker. I became very skilled. So I became very good at discerning, oops, there's a fear thought in my mind right now, or oops, this is an unworthiness thought. And it allowed me to be more aware of the fact that I did not want to accept the thought. Because sometimes when you're listening to the story, which seems to echo form, which you believe in, you're more tempted to accept the thought because it seems true, it seems real. But when you get to the content level and you realize that by accepting the thought, you're really accepting fear, guilt or blame, unworthiness, or attack defense in the mind. You know, when you're on the path to awakening, you're very clear that you don't want to accept those thoughts into the mind. So by getting down to the content level of your thoughts, it's much easier to look at a thought and realize you don't want that thought and let it go, regardless of the story the thought seems to be telling you. The third step is to choose to let ego thoughts rest and fall quiet in your mind. Give no additional power to them. And, you know, the point that the Holy Spirit is making with this third step, of course, is that we are all creators. And what we do in this world is we create our own experience. And so Holy Spirit is teaching us that if we do have, for example, an attack defense thought in the mind, and we allow that thought to spin and spin and spin, we are creating our own upset. We are creating our own upset. And Holy Spirit is saying, you know, I understand that you want happiness. And so in order to have happiness, which is your true desire, what you really want to do is not give your power to thoughts that are upsetting. What you really want to do is just let those thoughts rest in the mind. Just kind of take some deep breaths, take your mind away from those thoughts, let them rest, and then what will kind of happen is fade away. Because as you continue to think about those thoughts and they spin and spin and spin, you are giving your creative power to them. And you are creating your own experience of being upset. So, again, Holy Spirit says, choose to let ego thoughts rest and fall quiet in your mind. Give no additional power to them. The fourth step then was ask me for my thoughts and hold them dear in your mind. Repeat them, contemplate them, feel gratitude for them. So after the ego thought that you chose to let go of has kind of faded away within the mind, then Holy Spirit recommends that you refocus your mind on a love thought or a Holy Spirit thought. And I mentioned that one thing you could do if you're a student of A Course in Miracles, especially a student of the workbook, is that you could refocus your mind on the workbook lesson of the day. Another thing that I suggested was that you could create your own single quiet thought for the day by taking a sentence or two that inspired you from your morning reading, writing it on a piece of paper, and then maybe carrying it with you all day so that whenever you needed to refocus your mind, you could take that thought that inspired you in the morning and focus on it and feel those feelings of inspiration again. The fifth step then was to turn to your willingness. Cherish it as your strength. So Holy Spirit said that once we've returned our mind to love by focusing on a Holy Spirit thought, really the next thing we want to do is capture our true desire again, which is to know thyself, or to be only love, or however you might word that. And you do that by turning within to your willingness and finding that willingness to awaken, or that willingness to be only love, and focus on that and feel that as that grows within your mind. And Holy Spirit says, this is your strength. Then the next step, Holy Spirit says, follow my guidance in peace and confidence, for you are truly being led. There are no accidents. Everything works together for good. So this step is really now returning your mind to trust. So first you returned your mind to a thought of love. Then you returned your mind to your willingness, your true desire, and now you are returning your mind to trust. You are trusting that whatever is happening right now in your life is being provided to help you awaken, because that is your true desire. And you're choosing to allow everything to be interpreted by the Holy Spirit for the purpose of awakening, and you are putting your mind firmly with trust. And then the last step was the same as the second step. Watch the thoughts in your mind. Remember that you have a choice as to what you will believe. So now that you're in this place of trust, you go back to mind watching once again. So those were the basic steps that we covered last week. And we covered those in an hour last week. So if you didn't hear that recording and you would like to hear that discussion, as Dove mentioned earlier, you can go to www.reginadonacres.com, and then you'll want to go to the page called Teachings, and it would be Breaking the Habit of Listening to the Ego, Part 1, and you'll want to listen to that. So that's just kind of a quick review of some of the main points from last week before we get started on some more specifics this week. I'm going to just let go of the mic for a moment and see if anybody has anything they want to ask or say before we get started. All right, then. I think that probably the place that I'm feeling to start now is the step that says, choose to let ego thoughts rest and fall quiet in your mind. Give no additional power to them. I want to talk a little bit about what that can feel like when you are resting and allowing these ego thoughts to fall quiet in the mind. Because as I mentioned last week, we talked a lot about thoughts and letting go of thoughts, but we did not talk about feelings. And what I have found is that not all of the time, because sometimes a thought is actually fairly easy to let go of. Sometimes it's fairly easy to just say, oops, I don't want this thought. Rest for a moment. The thought goes, and there's no real strong experience attached to it. So that does happen. But there are other times when we are actually very attached to the thought in some way. And when you're very attached to a thought in some way, and you decide to practice resting the mind and letting the thought fade, what happens is you may feel some significant feelings while you're resting the mind. For example, you may feel strong unworthiness. If it was a judgment thought, if you were judging yourself for having done something that you think is wrong, and you caught that judgment thought in the mind and you decided to rest and allow that thought to fade, if you had really bought into that self-judgment, what you may find while you're resting the mind is that you're going to feel strong, strong feelings of unworthiness during the rest period. Or you could feel guilt. You could feel strong guilt during the rest period. Or if this is a fear thought, if you found yourself, for example, maybe worrying about getting a job or worrying about not being able to pay the mortgage on your house, you may find that even while you're resting the mind, you're going to have a strong experience of fear. So what I want to talk about, or yes, Cliff, worrying about a relationship. Yeah, you may have some strong feelings there of unworthiness or fear. So what I want to talk about is what to do with those feelings. And in fact, in NTI, there's an entire book. It's a very short book, but there's an entire book about letting go of these feelings. Or actually, it's not really letting go of the feelings. It's experiencing the feelings. The way we let them go is by allowing ourselves to experience them. And so I think that's really important to talk about. So I've brought that book with me tonight from NTI. It's 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I will give you all a link so that you can read along with me. But I do want to tell you that I made the decision tonight to bring the validated version. So when you are reading along with me, you may find some of the words are going to be a little different. That's okay. That will just give you an idea of the difference between the posted version and the validated version. The validated version is the one that is being published next March 28th. Let me give you a link so you can pull up 2 Timothy if you want to. There's a link. This link will take you to the Four Holy Spirit website and the New Testament page. And once you get to the New Testament page, you're going to want to go to 2 Timothy. Is just start reading from 2 Timothy, and then as I feel guidance to stop and comment, I will stop and comment. So beginning at the top, 2 Timothy chapter 1. It is time to look within at the darkness that blinds you to your awareness of life. You will see many things, all of which are false. Hold my hand and know it is your own truth that you hold to as we look together at all you are not. And I love that opening paragraph, because this opening paragraph reminds us that what we're going to feel and experience as we look within, within the mind, is not what is true. As we look at our guilt, our unworthiness, our fear, our hatred, our anger, our hopelessness, whatever else we may find, those feelings are not true about us. And Holy Spirit asks us to hold its hand. So we are holding the hand of pure love, love that does not judge us. But then Holy Spirit even goes further and reminds us that when we are holding the hand of this pure love that does not judge us, that what we're really holding hands with is our truth. So Holy Spirit is focusing our mind right at the beginning of 2 Timothy on what we are not, which we are going to experience, but what we are not and what we are, our truth. So Holy Spirit does not want us to lose that perspective of our truth as we are looking at these feelings that we're going to find within the mind. Holy Spirit starts off with a very specific example, just as a place to start. To be honest, any example would have worked. But when Holy Spirit starts discussing these feelings, Holy Spirit starts with the example of seeing yourself as less than, and maybe seeing someone else as better than you. Maybe it's someone that you perceive to be more enlightened than you, or maybe it's someone that you perceive to be more beautiful than you, or someone that is smarter than you, or someone who has more success in the world than you. It doesn't really matter. But that's the example that Holy Spirit starts with. And I know that we have all been there. I know that at one time or another in your life, there has been someone that you thought was better than you, and that you felt less than. So if you just pull up that memory for a moment while I read, I think you'll be able to go right along with Holy Spirit in this discussion. So I'll begin with the second paragraph at 2 Timothy chapter 1. You see yourself as less than, and so you seem to resent those who act as if to be greater than the one you see as you. All of this is based on the measuring stick of personhood. But then Holy Spirit says, and this is what I think is really important, I do not want you to deny how you feel. Denial is not the way of salvation. I want you to look at it and feel it with me. And this is really what 2 Timothy is going to be all about, is looking right at these beliefs in the mind and feeling them, actually experiencing them, rather than denying them. And especially, you know, as a, quote, spiritual person, you know, who wants to be spiritual. You all know what that's like, too. We've all felt that energy at one time or another, wanting to be spiritual. What can happen when we have this desire to be spiritual? Well, first of all, I'd like to point out that the desire to be spiritual is not the same as the desire to know thyself. It really isn't the same. The desire to be spiritual is a desire of how you want to look in the world to others. That desire to be spiritual. Where the desire to know thyself is a desire to know what we are for yourself beyond all doubt, without any other experience than that experience of knowing thyself. So the desire to be spiritual and the desire to know thyself are different. And when we have the desire to be spiritual, which is somewhat of an act, when we have that desire to be spiritual, we can make many, many mistakes from being in that place in the mind. And one of those mistakes, most definitely, is denial. When a thought comes up in the mind that we judge as not spiritual, so right there was the first mistake, was a judgment of our own thought. When a thought comes up in the mind that we judge as not spiritual, then the very next temptation is to deny the thought. And we've all felt this. We've all felt this energy that, oh no, I'm not supposed to think that. And there's a little fear energy with that when we see that thought. And we deny the thought immediately. It's a conscious choice to not acknowledge the thought, the feelings, not to look at it. So this is why Holy Spirit is saying right off the bat, I do not want you to deny how you feel. I don't want you to deny that you right now are feeling envy, or that you right now are feeling jealousy, or that you right now are feeling hatred, or that you right now are feeling unworthiness, or that you right now are feeling guilt because you think that one is better than you. Don't deny that. Holy Spirit knows that that is going to be our very first temptation. So that's the very first thing Holy Spirit shares. I do not want you to deny how you feel. Denial is not the way of salvation. I want you to look at it and feel it with me. And we're never going to get there by wanting to be spiritual, because that's an act. The only way we're going to get there to be able to really look at this thought, this feeling, and experience it within the mind is the desire to know thyself. And realizing that in order to know thyself, we have to be healed of these obstacles to love's presence. And if I just found that I think someone is better than me, and I'm having feelings around that, I have just found an obstacle to love's presence. So my desire to know thyself is going to help me want to experience that feeling or walk right through that feeling so that it can be healed. Holy Spirit continues, as we look at this feeling of less than and the resentment that is noticed for the one who acts out the role of greater than, notice that what you are feeling is a feeling. It doesn't matter whether it's hatred, envy, jealousy, unworthiness, guilt. Holy Spirit wants you to realize it's just a feeling. So Holy Spirit is really trying to disarm our experience, because what happens is we judge these feelings as non-spiritual, and we somehow arm the situation so that it's really difficult to face the feelings. And Holy Spirit is trying to disarm the situation by saying, recognize it's nothing but a feeling. Just recognize that. You are feeling a feeling. Regardless of what it is a feeling. And then Holy Spirit continues, move away from the thoughts of resentment to the feeling the thoughts evoke. So this is no different than that step that we saw last week, which said choose to let ego thoughts rest and fall quiet in the mind. The Holy Spirit is giving the same thing here by saying move away from the thoughts to the feeling. So you're going to let the thoughts rest. And the reason for that is the reason that Holy Spirit gave us last week. When it said choose to let ego thoughts rest and fall quiet in your mind, Holy Spirit went on to say give no additional power to them. If you stay with your thoughts in the mind, the thoughts about this one that seems to be greater than you, or maybe you're not thinking about that one, maybe you're thinking about yourself and what a loser you are. But if you stay with those thoughts in your mind, your thinking mind is still spinning, is what's happening. So you are still giving your power to those thoughts. Last week we used the example of the thinking mind as an automatic loom. And we said that when the automatic loom or the thinking mind is spinning and spinning on a thought, what's really happening is that this automatic loom is weaving illusion. And that if you want to allow the Holy Spirit to undo the illusion, you need to rest the mind. You need to quit allowing the mind to spin and spin on these thoughts. You need to stop the automatic loom so that Holy Spirit can get in there and start taking those threads back out again, or undoing the weaving of illusion that was going on in the mind. So the same thing is happening here. You know, you're feeling this feeling of jealousy, envy, resentment, hatred, unworthiness, guilt, however it's showing up for you. Holy Spirit does not want you to deny that feeling. Holy Spirit is going to ask you to go into that feeling and experience it. But Holy Spirit does want you to allow the thoughts to rest in the mind. And as I mentioned last week, you know, one thing that really helps me with this is breathing. Going in and breathing. You know, just taking some deep breaths. And another thing that really helps with me is self-talk. You know, I may say to myself, okay, I see what these thoughts are. I may express the content. I see this as an unworthiness thought. I know I do not want to accept an unworthiness thought. I am going to rest my mind now. I'm just going to let this thought fade. I literally talk to myself in the mind. But if there is a strong feeling accompanying that, even as you let the thought rest and fade away, you are going to feel the feeling. And in fact, what you may discover is as you let the thought rest and fall away, you may find that the feeling gets stronger. Because the thought was actually a projection. The thought was actually a defense mechanism. The thought was protecting you from feeling the feeling that you did not want to feel. It's actually kind of a type of denial. That's what projection is. So as you allow the thought, which was a defense mechanism for you, as you allow it to rest and fade away, the feeling that it evoked may get much, much stronger. You may find yourself moving into enormous guilt, for example. And let me give you one specific example from my lifetime. There was a time when I was observing a conversation on a Yahoo group, and I saw someone that I perceived as, an innocent new course student expressing what they thought they were reading and seeking additional understanding. And I saw it as, a very innocent question. But then I saw what I perceived as an attack from another course student, answering that person in a way that seemed to tell them how wrong they were, how off base they were. It seemed to be an entire attack from the way I was perceiving it. And my reaction, I responded from a desire to protect the innocent one, to protect their feelings. I didn't want this one to be turned off right away to the course. I wanted to respond. So, my words, I think, were nice. My words were nice, and I said something. I don't even remember what I said, but I said something. I don't remember what I said. I have no idea. But the point is that the place I was coming from, however, regardless of how nice my words were, the place I was coming from was ego, because I was perceiving an attack, and I had a desire to protect the innocent one from the attacker. So I was coming from ego. So what happened after I sent that email and I started noticing my mind spinning, angry at the one who had attacked and all that, I realized what had happened. I realized I had slipped into ego, and I realized I had made a post from the ego rather than from the Holy Spirit, and I started feeling guilty. So the first thing I had to do was practice what we're being taught here. First, I let the mind rest, and I let the feelings of, and it, what was happening for me when I started feeling guilty is my thoughts shifted from being angry at the seeming attacker to being angry at myself. I was angry at myself and blaming myself for not watching my mind and for allowing myself to make a post from the ego. So the first thing I had to do was rest my mind and let those thoughts, which were now attacking me, let those thoughts die. But as I did that, this guilt rose up in a way that you would not believe. You would have thought that instead of sending a nice email in someone else's defense, you would have thought I murdered someone with the amount of guilt that came up. And as I rested the mind, the guilt came up more and more and more. And in fact, it's probably this particular day, it was probably the most guilt I've ever felt, which is one reason I remember this so well. I remember at one point, the guilt was so strong within my mind that I literally wanted to curl up and die and have the memory of me be erased from every mind. Total extinction. That's how strong the guilt was. So you can see sometimes, now of course, if I had continued in my mind with where it started by blaming this other person and saying, that person was really rude, they should not have attacked that one, and blah, 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 blah. If I had allowed my mind to stay with those thoughts, I never would have felt the depth of that guilt. So do you see how thoughts are a defense mechanism or a distractor? I never, if I had stayed with the blame game and continued to project the guilt onto someone else out there, I never would have gotten to the guilt that I was feeling. So as we rest the thoughts in the mind, now again, if it's a thought we're not too attached to, sometimes the resting is easy, the thought is gone, and there's no real feeling experience to speak of. But other times, the feeling that can come up as we rest the mind can be extreme. So I just want to put that out there so that people are aware of this. Now let me go back to reading 2 Timothy. As we look at this feeling of less than and the resentment that is noticed for the one who acts out the role of greater than, notice that what you are feeling is a feeling. And in fact, that's what I did that day, because I already had 2 Timothy under my belt. And that's what I did that day when I was feeling that horrible guilt, the guilt that made me want to die and be erased from your memory, is I felt it. I did not deny it. I recognized the depth of it, but I also held in my mind that I was simply feeling a feeling. I did not allow myself to truly believe that I was that guilty. I felt the guilt fully, but I allowed my mind to stay with the thought that I was feeling a feeling in order to experience it and let it go. So again, as we look at this feeling of less than and the resentment that is noticed for the one who acts out the role of greater than, notice that what you are feeling is a feeling. Move away from the thoughts of resentment to the feeling the thoughts evoke. Explore within you the feeling. Can you see that it is just a feeling? It is an experience. And it is nothing more than that. You know, one symbol the Holy Spirit gave me a long time ago, before I started writing with the Holy Spirit, I was in the bathtub one day, just kind of really relaxing. And as I was in the bathtub, this vision came to me. And in the vision, I was in like a haunted house, a ride, you know, like at a carnival. I was in a ride. And sitting next to me was this angel that I know, because she has come to me many, many times in visions. And I call her Angela. Angela was sitting next to me. And in this ride, the truth is, it was nothing but cardboard images. There were no, you know, three-dimensional, lifelike ghouls in this haunted house, just these cardboard images that would like pop out at you and that kind of thing. Everything was two-dimensional. And yet I was absolutely terrified in this haunted house, even though there was nothing there that could hurt me. In fact, I was, you know, seat-belted into a ride that was on a track. You know, I was perfectly safe the entire time. But I was absolutely terrified in this haunted house. And when I looked over at Angela, Angela was sitting next to me completely peaceful. Completely peaceful. And I realized as I looked at Angela that she knew that I was going to ride this ride as long as I wanted to, but that when I wanted to, the ride would end and we would ride out into the light. And that's what that vision did for me. It showed me that, you know, there was really nothing to fear, and that when I was done with the experience of fear, that I would ride out into the light. Well, when I read what I'm reading right here, this reminds me of this vision. Can you see that it is just a feeling? And then Holy Spirit says, it is an experience, and it is nothing more than that. So again, when I remember that vision, what I remember is that all of my feelings are simply experiences. I think of them as being experiences in that haunted house, you know, just an experience and nothing else, which somehow takes the reality out of it, and it enables me to experience the experience more easily when I think of it as like a carnival ride. So the story I told you a little bit ago, I would have been on the carnival ride in the room that was the experience of guilt, and experiencing the extreme guilt, but being very aware that it's just a carnival ride, just an experience. It's not real, and it's not going to last forever. Can you see that it is just a feeling? It is an experience, and it is nothing more than that. The thoughts that evoke the feeling are nothing. They are mere props. It is the feeling, or the experience, that is the goal of the Son of God. You have set out to have an experience. So let go of the thoughts and focus on the experience they evoke. You know, so on purpose, we got on this carnival ride, is what the Holy Spirit is saying. You got on this carnival ride because you wanted to go through the haunted house, and you wanted to experience what is in the haunted house. So let's go ahead and have this experience. And really what the Holy Spirit is referring to here at the metaphysical level is the tiny mad idea, which I taught about last Thursday. And if you haven't heard that teaching, it's a really good teaching to listen to because it really teaches how we are very innocent for having the tiny mad idea instead of guilty for having the tiny mad idea. And you can find that at reginadonacres.com under the NTI study group page. And the recording is dated 8/9/07. Tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and pause and let Steve take the mic, and then I'll get back to this. Steve, please take the mic.
Thank you, Regina. So I guess now my question for quite a while now has been like, when you say rest the mind, and I think I'm seeing the answer now in this last sentence here. So let go of the thoughts and focus yourself on the experience they invoke. And by the experience, you mean feeling. So, yeah, it's been bothering me. I didn't know exactly what you meant by rest the mind, which I thought that's what you were getting to, was like try to let go of the belief in the thought and just see what they say, like experience the feeling here now. But until, I mean, I was just having trouble getting a hold on what you meant by rest the mind. And I'm thinking maybe that's what you meant here. That's what you were saying all along, and I didn't understand it until you got here. So where it says, so let go of the thoughts and focus yourself on the experience they invoke. And the experience would be the feelings, I'm thinking you're saying. So we're trying to let go of the belief in the thought and just focus on the feelings. I guess that's my question. So thank you for letting me ask that and share. Here's the mic back.
As I mentioned, sometimes when we rest the mind, there really are no feelings because we weren't overly attached to the thought. We hadn't really bought into the thought yet. So sometimes when we rest the mind, the thought pretty quickly fades and we go on pretty easily. Resting the mind is really just not continuing to think the thought, realizing that this is a thought that I do not want. You know, I'm imagining an attack scenario. I'm imagining that when I get into pal talk and teach, someone is going to attack this point. And then I realize, oops, that's an attack thought. I just want to let this go. And so I just rest the mind for a moment. And if I don't have any real attachment to the thought, if I hadn't bought into it yet, I might not feel any feelings. But it's possible that I may also feel some kind of guilt or some kind of unworthiness. And so if so, then what I'm going to do as I rest the mind is I'm going to feel these thoughts rise up even more. Because the thought itself was actually a defense mechanism, a projection, and it was keeping me from feeling the full brunt of the feelings. As I let them go, I will begin to feel them, and then I don't want to deny them. I want to go ahead and have this experience. So as I was talking about, you know, the Holy Spirit is saying that this is an experience that the Son of God wanted to have. And really what the Holy Spirit is referring to is the tiny mad idea. The way the tiny mad idea is taught in NTI Romans is it is described as the Son of God asked what it would be like if everything was different than it is. What would it be like if everything is different than it is? So really what the Son of God decided to do was to have an experience to see what it would be like if everything was different than the experience of heaven. So instead of having the experience of perfect freedom, for example, there would be an experience of lack of freedom. Instead of having an experience of perfect love, there would be feelings of lack of love, you know, feelings of fear, for example. So this is an experience the Son of God decided to have. And what the Holy Spirit really wants us to realize is that we are the Son of God. And as it says in the Way of Mastery, what you decree is. What you decree is. So if the Son of God has decided to have an experience, then the Son of God shall have that experience. But if the Son of God fears the experience that it has decided to have, and every time the experience tries to rise up, the Son of God denies it again, the wish to have the experience stays in the mind without the experience being experienced. So this is why the Holy Spirit is teaching us to accept our feelings, to allow our feelings, and at some point you may even get to where you say you are able to embrace your feelings, even the feelings of fear, you know, the feelings of unworthiness, etc. So, again, Can you see that it is just a feeling? It is an experience, and it is nothing more than that. The thoughts that evoke the feeling are nothing. They are mere props. It is the feeling or the experience that is the goal of the Son of God. You have set out to have an experience. You have set out to have an experience. So let go of the thoughts, which are just defense mechanisms, and focus on the experience they evoke. Mary Ellen is saying, what do you think about a therapy technique that has someone express their full-blown anger at a past grievance? That I would have to say my answer to that would be, you know, based on what Holy Spirit has taught me, of course, because I'm in no way an expert, but based on what I have been taught by Holy Spirit, it would really depend on how that is being experienced. If the person is encouraged to, for example, hold on to the thoughts in the mind, let's say the person is hating their mother for abandoning them when they were 9, you know, let's use that scenario. If the person is encouraged to continue to think about your mother and think about how she abandoned you and blah, 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 and feel that anger, I would say that is not what the Holy Spirit is recommending here, because the Holy Spirit is recommending that we let go of those thoughts. As we continue to think those thoughts and focus on those thoughts, we're continuing to believe the world. We're continuing to allow the mind to spin, and we are continuing to let that automatic loom run, so we're continuing to believe illusion. So that is not the healing that the Holy Spirit is recommending. But at the same time, if that therapy technique worked where the person was being encouraged to let go of these thoughts, you know, remember, it's not really about your mother abandoning you. This is not really what it's about, but let's look at your anger. Let's look at how you're feeling. Let's just experience that anger. Then that would be in line with what the Holy Spirit is teaching here. Let's see, God is but love is saying useful only to get in touch with the feeling if it has been denied and repressed deeply. So useful to get connected to the denied feeling and let the feeling rise up to be allowed and felt fully. All right, so let's continue with 2 Timothy. The Holy Spirit says, life is a roller coaster of feelings. So not exactly the carnival ride story that I gave you a while ago, but Holy Spirit is still linking it to a type of carnival ride. Life is a roller coaster of feelings. Now listen to this next line though. But when you are lost in your thoughts, you rob yourself of the feelings you set out to experience. It is as if you skim the surface, but you do not go in for a full flavor of the experience. And so the desire for experience remains at a level of which you are not conscious. The unanswered question remains unanswered because you have not allowed yourself the full experience by the distraction of your thoughts. And that's what I was talking about a moment ago, that the thoughts are actually projection. You know, projecting your feelings onto the world. And as we know, projection is a defense mechanism. So while you are engaging in a defense mechanism, you are denying. You are not having the experience. So that's really what Holy Spirit is saying. And once again, this is why we're recommended to let these feelings, let these thoughts rest in the mind and fade away. Don't focus on the thoughts, but go in and experience the feeling. Now, Holy Spirit continues. The good teaching, I love that, the good teaching, I love that. The good teaching that you have been entrusted with is the teaching of your innocence. This is the teaching you must accept if you are to experience the fullness of your experience and let go of your curiosity. When you feel guilty for desiring experience, you cover it over with thoughts. You may call them self-rationalizations or a tool of denial. Thoughts are a distraction from desire caused by the fear of desire. Yet while you allow yourself to be distracted from it, the desire or the wish remains. So again, Holy Spirit is just continuing to explain that our thoughts are actually a defense mechanism. And, you know, if we are feeling guilty for wanting to experience unworthiness or for wanting to experience hatred or for wanting to experience, you know, attack, then what happens is we stay focused at the thought level because that's a defense mechanism, and we do not have that experience. So Holy Spirit is pointing that out to us, because if we have that knowledge in our mind, and our purpose really is to know thyself, we want to heal, then really this will help us to make the decision to let go of the thoughts, regardless of the story that's in the mind. Regardless of the story that's in the mind. Because the problem is, remember, that the thoughts in the mind are a damn good defense mechanism. The Son of God, you created this story. So that person out there that is betraying you right now, that you are blaming for betraying you right now, when you're listening to that story in your mind, that's a damn good story. Because that story was created by the Son of God as a defense mechanism, as a distraction, as a projection. So, you know, it does take a little bit of knowledge or a little bit of understanding to make the choice to let go of this damn good story about that really guilty person out there and choose to go in and feel the feelings. So this is why the Holy Spirit is explaining to us what's going on. And if your purpose is to know thyself, if you want to heal, then understanding that the thoughts are actually blocking your healing will encourage you to let go of the thoughts, no matter how good the story is. And this gets to the doormat thing. You know, again, we hear course students say sometimes, you know, I feel like a doormat. Or they'll say, the course doesn't really want you to be a doormat. You don't have to blah, 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 blah. The thought that you're a doormat is not really understanding that you are the Son of God, and that what you need to do is allow yourself to have these experiences that you've already deemed that you're going to have in order to heal. So you need to let go of these thoughts that are telling you that you're a doormat. If you let go of this story about this guy that's betraying you, you need to understand that all of that, the doormat story, the guy that is betraying you story, all of that is defense mechanism. All of that is projection. And you got to really hold on to the thought in the mind that you are here to heal. That what you want above all else, which includes above being right about this jerk that's betraying you, right? Above all else is to heal. And when you are really clear that that is what you want, you will be able to let go of any story without feeling like a doormat, because you're going to have one purpose, one focus. There's not a story in the world you can't let go of in order to go in and heal. So, when you feel guilty for desiring experience, you cover over it with thoughts. That's the projection of the world. You may call them self-rationalizations or a tool of denial. Thoughts are a distraction from desire caused by the fear of desire. And this is because we feel guilty for the tiny mad idea. And again, I taught about that last Thursday. It's a great teaching if you haven't heard it yet. But because we feel guilty for the tiny mad idea, we then fear our desire. And that's why we've created these distractions. Yet while you allow yourself to be distracted from it, the desire or the wish remains. So if you continue to believe in the projection, you are not healing. Then Holy Spirit continues, your guilt is a misperception and nothing more. And this was the moral of last Thursday's teaching on the tiny mad idea, that the guilt is nothing but a misperception. You are the totally free Son of God. The totally, totally free Son of God. And if you want to have that tiny mad idea, what would it be like if everything was different than it is? And you want to go in and experience that. You are totally free to do that. There is no guilt at all from God's point of view, because you were created totally free. The guilt that you are feeling is based on your own judgment of yourself. Your own judgment of yourself. It is a complete misperception. And so again, as Holy Spirit is saying here, your guilt is a misperception and nothing more. But your fear of your own misperception, or your fear of your own guilt, which you made up in your mind through your own judgment, your fear of your own misperception has become an obstacle. It is time to let that obstacle go. Release yourself by accepting your own innocence. And this is one thing that I think was really important about last Thursday's teaching, is if you heard it, that is the message over and over and over again. The message of that teaching is you are free and you are innocent. You are free and you are innocent. You are free and you are innocent. And the reason we need to accept that message into the mind is because if we believe we are guilty, we're going to continue to fear our own feelings. We're going to continue to fear our own thoughts, which means we're going to continue to deny them and we'll never ever heal. So one of the first things we really need to do is begin to accept the idea that we are innocent. And as we begin to accept the idea that we are innocent, we are then able to go in and look at our feelings as just an experience without any judgment or guilt. And this is really what the Course calls, you know, looking at the ego with the Holy Spirit. Because if I go in and I look at my feelings or my thoughts with judgment, with an idea of guilt, then I'm looking at the ego with the ego. But if I go in and look at my feelings or my thoughts with the understanding these are just feelings, this is just an experience, then I'm looking at the ego with the Holy Spirit. But the only way we're able to do that is to begin to accept that we are innocent and we are free. Those are important things that we need to accept within the mind. Release yourself by accepting your own innocence. God has granted you the right to have experience. You have within you the desire to have experience. This desire remains until you have let it go, but you cannot fear it and let it go also. You cannot fear it and let it go also. You must let yourself realize the experience to see that the experience can hold no limits that could ever limit or hinder you. And that is the end of 2 Timothy chapter 1. So what I'm going to do is take a break to get a drink of water and see if there's anything that anybody else would like to share.